One balmy day in the South Pacific, a Navy ship espied smoke coming from one of three huts on an uncharted island. Upon arriving at the shore, they were met by a shipwreck survivor. He said, "I'm so glad you're here. I've been alone on this island for more than 5 years." The captain replied, "If you're all alone on the island, why do you have three huts?" The survivor said, "Well, I live in the one and I go to church in the other." "Well, what's with the third hut?" "Well, that's where I used to go to church." An elderly woman walked into a local country church, and the friendly usher greeted her at the door and helped her up the flight of steps. "Where would you like to sit?" he asked politely. "The front row, please," she answered. "You really don't want to do that," the usher said. "The pastor is really quite boring." "Do you know who I happen to be?" the woman asked. "No," he said. "I'm the pastor's mother," she replied indignantly. "And do you know who I am?" he asked. "No," she said. "Good," he answered. Now, I'm telling you those two stories because even when we're dissatisfied with God or the things of God or the people of God, God loves us nonetheless. God is kind towards us and God cares for us regardless of who we are or where we are at the moment. The Lord we pray to is a kind, loving, and caring Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Jesus, Lord, speak to us this day. Lord God, we echo the words from Psalm 30 at this prayer. Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to us. O Lord, be our helper. You have turned our mourning into dancing. You have shaken off our sackcloth and clothed us with joy, so that our soul may praise you and not be silent. O Lord, our God, we give you thanks forever. Holy Spirit, open our spiritual and intellectual minds, hearts, and spirit to what you have for us this very day. We pray in the mighty, loving name of Jesus, our Lord, our God, and our Savior. Amen. So as we've clearly heard in many of the letters and Acts of the Apostles, but particularly this morning, the letter to the Galatian churches, Paul says, "The one who formerly was persecuting us is now proclaiming the faith he once tried to destroy, and they glorified God because of me." Paul's using examples such as this and many others when he uses the term Gentile or Roman or Greek, that the Lord, our God's gospel message of Jesus Christ is for all people, regardless of who they are, who they were, and who they certainly will become. And in those two funny stories I just shared now, it's clear that even people who have difficulties are just as accepted truly by the gospel, despite themselves. Remember last week when I quoted from Corinthians, Paul's summary of what the gospel message is. He says this in 1 Corinthians 15. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, and that he was raised up on the third day according to the scriptures. It's that simple. And it's 3 points. He died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. He was raised up on the third day according to the scriptures. And Paul, very clear in his letters, don't add anything to that. That's it, simple. Living it, it becomes a difficulty. There's a term that we often use in our relationship and our daily conversation with God that I really think is difficult. We use it all the time, and I don't think we really understand the word, not only as Paul but in today's readings, but also as we read it in Psalms and in the book of Kings. The term is Lord, and that, by definition, often denotes certain persons who hold a title of peerage in the United Kingdom or entitled to courtesy titles, I guess. Lord is a term or a word or title for a person or deity who has authority, control, or power over others, acting like a master, a chief, or a ruler. And those are not positive things in our day and age. It's difficult for us, therefore, I think, to say that word Lord without having some of that in our mind. The statement, "O Lord, my God," as we find it in today's readings, is these Hebrew words, and I want to show those to you. This one, and this one. And you've heard the term jots and tittles, the little symbols that we see around those squiggly things, the little tiny ones, that's what those are. And those, because there are no vowels in Hebrew, tell us how to say the word, where the vowel sounds would be. We're reading from left to right. All the left-handed people in the crowd, that's an easy one for us. This word, in English, we would pronounce this word Jehovah. or Elohim. Jehovah, Yahweh, Elohim is the proper and pronounceable name for God, impronounceable name of for God. And this word is technically known as the Tetragrammaton. It has four letters. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Four letters in it. There's been debate about what it actually means in its actual translation, but many agree that it simply means to be, or as we hear it in God's conversation with Moses in Exodus chapter 3, I am. That's God's name. I am. The second term here, Elohim, is the plural of that. It's a root word, but we hear El, and I've mentioned this before several times in sermons, saying that whenever we hear someone's name ending with El, Abel is another one, Abel for instance, El is God's name. It simply means God. The phrase used today in Psalm 30 by David and again in 1 Kings by Elijah could be literally transliterated as Jehovah God. When he says, O Lord, my God, Jehovah God, or my paraphrase, you, I am, who are chief God and my God. The word Jehovah or Yahweh is usually identified in many translations by using the word Lord, as you may have seen it in your Bibles, all in capital letters. You'll also see Lord not in capital letters. That's a completely different word originally. And I'm pointing this out for a reason, because your Bibles that you're using in your pews right there have this term in it. And you probably wondered, if you thought about it for a minute, why is that word all in capitals, but other words, when they use Lord, it isn't. It isn't a typo. It's because this is Yahweh. This is Elohim. The other term, Lord, simply means God in its translation. This Jehovah God is obviously a means to address the God of the Israelites, the God of Jesus, and the God who is our God. O Lord, my God, Jehovah God. Translating that word Jehovah to Lord loses a great deal when we try to read it in our context, however, and that literally means that today there is no context for most of us with that term Lord. Most of us today don't have such a person or persons that we can relate to at all in our life. How many of us sitting here today have someone in your life that you would call Lord? And if we did, what would we mean by that exactly? So when we hear it in Scripture, when we say it in our prayers, the Lord's Prayer, what does that really mean? Well, we often just say Lord means Jesus. It means much more than that. We need to understand that. The closest we can get as far as relating to that word, that certain persons who hold a title of peerage in the United Kingdom might be the only lords that we know of, but that's got very little to do with our day-to-day life here in Burlington. If anything, Lord means probably something rather negative in our minds, as in to lord something over someone, a power struggle where someone other than me has power that I don't have. It's a very bad thing. Why is it important for us to understand this four-letter word, Lord, all in capitals? We use it all the time. We pray with it. We read it. We speak about it in our conversations, in our faith. This word, Lord, is not a word to be feared or thought of in a negative manner. This word, Lord, describes a God that is kind and loving and caring. You see, the actual word Lord in the context of land ownership is that of oversight and caregiver of the people contained in the concept of lordships or lands. So when we do think of Lord in the sense of peerage, it's someone who's supposed to be taking care of the land and taking care of the people who live on that land. They're responsible for them. Not just lording it over them, but loving them. This is much better understanding of Lord's and our Lord, capital letters. We can see this kind and loving and caring God of Elijah in 1 Kings. A kind and loving and caring God in the Old Testament. The Old Testament, where all we ever hear about is a vengeful, angry God. But there's many, many, many stories throughout this Old Testament where God is anything but vengeful and angry. He hears his people. He loves his people. He cares for his people. In Elijah's prayer, he hears him and he heals the widow's son. We see that kind, loving, and caring Lord God of Jesus at work when Jesus heals the widow's son, raises him from the dead in our gospel reading today. We see time and again in Paul's story of his conversion, his apocalyptic encounter with the Lord Jesus, is a description of a kind and loving, caring and forgiving God. Paul hated God, well, the Christian God. He hated the Christians. He hated the early church. He did everything he could to eradicate it. And even so, God loved him. Today we celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion. Today, in participating in this holy act, we acknowledge our kind, loving, and caring Lord Jesus as we remember his sacrifice in the conquering of death. That kind, loving, and caring Lord Jesus does this for everyone, right where they are, whatever they may be. Whether you are not feeling so great today, whether you are well or not physically, whether you think you have enough faith or not, whatever your situation, the Lord Jesus holds out his kind, his loving, and his caring offer of that gospel message. We are free from the confines of death that holds this whole creation. O Lord, my God, is our declaration to a loving, kind, and caring Lord God who is not just a Lord, not just a God. He is our Lord. He is our God. And thanks be to God that we can certainly echo the words again from Psalm 30 as we approach the communion table of Jesus. Hear, O Lord, be gracious to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, so that my soul may praise you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever. Amen. God calls us as well to share what we have, a little bread, a little water. God uses those simple gifts to bring abundant blessings to the world. Let us now present our offerings to God.